We'll call our session to order, and I welcome all of you to this 58th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. And I wish to start with the Secretary to give us some meeting procedures and logistical arrangements. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe many of you are already familiar with the receiver facilities in this room. You have your volume control and switches to choose between the languages available, which are English, French, Spanish, and Arabic. So those of you who have any difficulties in getting the language of your choice, please identify yourself, and someone would help you out. We may have, you may wish to have some information on where to get a lunch and so on, but I hope that everybody has already got lunch today, so probably I will postpone this information piece to next tomorrow morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Ladies and gentlemen, now I have the honor to welcome Ms. Weber Mosdorf, Assistant Director General, WHO, to give us an opening statement on behalf of WHO and FAO. Ms. Weber, please.
Mr. Chairman, dear members of the committee, Executive Committee, dear Mr. Dr. Butrev, dear Dr. Schlunk, I'm very pleased to welcome you to your 58th session of the Executive Committee of the Codex Commission. You are nearly as old as WHO, because we opened our World Health Assembly in May, which has been our 59th assembly. But regrettably, it was a very sad session because of the tragic death of our Director General. I would like to say that WHO acknowledges very much the significance of Codex and its scientific committees as an international source of sound scientific advice on all matters related to food safety. During the last 8 years, WHO and FAO have continually developed innovative approaches to address emerging food safety issues. For example, to deal with the problem of foodborne illness due to microorganisms, WHO and FAO have developed a new scientific discipline to enable microbiological risk assessments. Now, after some time, microbiological risk assessments are on par with a traditional risk assessment for chemicals, for example. Similarly, WHO and FAO have taken the lead in assessing the risk and safety issues associated with food produced by biology. Since a number of foodborne diseases have been caused by zoonotic organisms, the WHO unit dealing with zoonosis and foodborne diseases surveillance was merged with the Department of Food Safety to form the new Department of Food Safety, Zoonosis and Foodborne Diseases. This merger is designed to promote an integrated approach to food safety by strengthening the links and intersectoral cooperation across the farm-to-fork principle. At the last World Health Assembly, several countries had stressed or had expressed again their wish to a continued strong involvement of WHO in Codex work, including the scientific provision or the provision of scientific advice. Therefore, the last WHO increased its contribution to Codex by approximately 30% we are maintaining this level, this higher level, this biennium. WHO would like to assure member states and you as members of the executive committee of its continued commitment to the food safety area of work. And I, as the new ADG of the respective cluster, I want to stress as well that food safety, FOSS, as department, will have a stronger and more visible role in my department. So, furthermore, we are moving forward to strengthen the linkages between traditional food safety constituencies and those of animal production, veterinary, public health. Avian influenza is an important example of this, as is our work in preventing antimicrobial resistance and our increased activities related to zoonotic diseases. WHO is committed to the sustainable provision of scientific advice to both codex and countries, and is exploring new ways to achieve this goal by identifying additional funding sources, and we will hope we will be successful in this together with you, sure. WHO supports strongly international standardization work that can help in decreasing food-related risks. WHO Secretariat, together with FAO, is therefore pursuing a more active involvement in the management issues related to the codex system, as well as to other activities related to food and health, including nutrition. In WHO's new strategic orientations, we discussed all along the last months and weeks, the 36 areas of work have been refocused into 15 strategic objectives. And in this process, food safety and nutrition have been merged into one strategic objective, and this a common or joint strategic objective will then in the future represent a much higher proportion of all WHO activities as now than now. So I am looking forward to a continuous constructive collaboration with you in improving food safety in dans un monde globalisé. En français, pour moi, c'est plus simple. I wish you for your meeting fruitful and constructive, successful results. And as you will be locked in Geneva during next 10 days, I can assure that we will provide you with all the safe food you will need to be protected. And I would like to thank the staff of the Secretariat and my staff with his team for the organization of this major event we will have the next time here in Geneva. And we will see us again next week during the opening of the commission session. So I thank you, and I wish you all the best for the meeting you have now.
Thank you so much, Ms. Musgrove, and I wish to invite Mr. Ezzedine to give a statement on behalf of FAO. Mr. Ezzedine, please.
Pleasure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have very few words to add to what my our ADG from WHO have said, but let me say first that Codex and Codex-related work continues to or remains high priority and a protected program in FAO. In most recent sessions of our governing bodies, these governing bodies have expressed again their strong commitment to Codex and to Codex-related work. FAO's contribution to Codex budget remained high during this biennium, the current biennium, despite the serious constraints that we have had in terms of budget for the current biennium, with a reduction between the previous biennium and the current biennium of over $90 million reduction in our regular program budget. Despite that, I think our level of funding for Codex and Codex-related work has been constant and, if not, even slightly increased in some instances. FAO is pleased with the enlarged membership of the Codex Executive Committee. It has been a constraint in the past that the regional were observers to the committee, this executive committee, and I think since the last session they are now full members, and we believe their contribution to the discussion here at the executive committee and to the work of the executive committee is an essential part of the work of the committee. FAO also believes in an invigorated role of the Codex Executive Committee in the management of Codex and in expediting particularly its work. We feel that this committee has a major role to play in ensuring of Codex products, particularly the standards and the codes and guidelines that are produced, are produced in a timely manner so that they can benefit to member countries. FAO is also pleased with the critical review that the Executive Committee is undertaking of the draft standards and related text submitted for adoption by the Codex Alimentaris Commission, as well as the review of proposals for new work that is proposed to the Commission. I think this we believe that this function of the Executive Committee is an important one, and one that should ensure that only those standards that would benefit the global community and would also address health and also trade matters that are important for member countries are dealt with in Codex. FAO also wishes to commend the working group of the Codex Executive Committee for its excellent work on undertaken on the development of the draft strategic plan for Codex. We believe that these are some of the important tasks and functions that the Executive Committee is asked to help with, and I think the work that has been done so far is remarkable, and we are very happy with the work, with the way it is done. I would like also to inform you also of the recent developments in the Codex, in the food safety and food safety related work in FAO. The food and nutrition division in FAO has been moved from the economic and social department to the department, with the intention of bringing the issue of nutrition and food safety together in the agricultural production, we could apply the food chain approach in the most effective way, and we are working now with our colleagues from the agriculture department, like the agriculture production and plant protection divisions, with the animal health and animal production division, with the fisheries people, all those that are involved in the production, so that we can ensure the application of this of the farm to fork approach to food safety. Mr. Chairman, I will, since I have promised not to be long, I will stop here, but I would not stop without wishing the committee full success in all in his work, and we'll be very much eager to see the outcome of the work of this executive committee and how it can push things forward and in a decisive way, so that it can really help the Commission in its work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boutrif. Ladies and gentlemen, before I give a word of thanks to both WHO and FAO, let's start with the sad news first. As we were informed by Ms. Mosdorf, we lost our Director General in WHO, Dr. Lee, and I wish to request you to stand up for 2 minutes to remember Dr. Lee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For our parent organizations, WHO and FAO, it's true that we have a lot of emerging food safety issues. We have increased foodborne diseases, and there is more need for international standardization in food safety work. And again, we all know that WTO has placed a lot of importance on the work of Codex. And because of this, there is an increasing pressure from member states to have an effective and efficient Codex, in the sense that they want the output of Codex to be as fast and to the expectations of these member states. And we are appreciative of the fact that both parent organizations do recognize and appreciate the work of Codex. And we are also appreciative of the fact that both FWHO have increased their budgetary contribution to the Codex process. But we wish to really request the parent organizations to increase this budget contribution so that Codex is able to be efficient, is able to live to the expectations of the member states. And as it has been rightly pointed out, there is a strategic plan which we think the member states will adopt, and if implemented, it will meet the expectations of the member states. And in that case, really the financial allocations need to be increased. And we are also recognizing that by implementing the proposed strategic plan, there will be quite a pressure on the Secretariat. And we know now the Secretariat is stretched to the brink, so we really need to have more staff members recruited. And we think, and before I even say we think, I think I also need to thank the recognition, personal recognition by Ms. Wosdorf, as she mentioned that as a new Assistant Director General, she will put food safety on the higher priorities of our sector. And this is something that we commend, and we think, we all know, I mean, if there is a person interested in anything, then things work out. And we believe we'll get more financial support, and also we have request for scientific advice, so we also need more support for the scientific bodies providing us with the necessary scientific advice. And ladies and gentlemen, I think with the commitment from our parent organizations, we should also commit ourselves as executive committee to carry out the critical review and the standards management function to the expectations of our parent organizations and also to the expectations of our member states. With these few remarks, I really thank FAO and WHO for their opening statements.
Thank you. And we will meet again next week.
I thought you are going to have an opportunity to stay with us. If not, then
no,
we thank you.
I apologize, but I have a lot of appointments today. But we will meet next week.
Thank you so
once
much.
Once more. It's also for me a Codex week, because we will have a lot of meetings and we will have the commission. And I'm happy to meet you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good success.
So, ladies and gentlemen, can I now invite the secretary to introduce our agenda item number one? The secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda for this current session. The relevant document is CX/06/58/1. Revision 2. The original provisional agenda was circulated to members in April this year. As and when we added new documents, we revised the current documents up to revision 2. This is the reason why the paper is bearing the timestamp of June 2006. But the original agenda was distributed in April this year. Mr. Chairman, the items sitting on this agenda are all important, but some items are more relevant to the work of this particular session. Mr. Chairman, in this regard, the item number 9 and item number 9, we will discuss two applications submitted from international non-governmental organizations to become a observer under the Codex system. And this matter is will not be considered by the Commission next year, but only by the present session. And this is the reason why the Secretariat will submit through you to the committee to change the order between item and item 9 so that this present session will not miss item 9 and provide needed advice to FAO and WHO. And Mr. Chairman, for the discussion of this item number 9, the committee may benefit from the presence of legal advisor from WHO, Mr. Solomon. He is quite busy work plans, and he indicated to the secretariat that he will be available for sure to join this meeting on Thursday morning. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, if the committee agrees, the Secretariat would suggest that the committee comes to item 9 regardless of the agenda item in discussion at that point, no later than the first in the morning on Thursday, so that the meeting can benefit from the participation of legal advisor from WHO to discuss item 9 on Thursday morning. Mr. Chairman, we will have a very, very full agenda, but some of the agenda items will also be discussed by the Commission. So the challenge for this meeting would be to formulate as many useful guidances to facilitate the well-informed decisions by the Commission next week. Mr. Chairman, from the Secretariat, we have one item we request for discussion by this meeting under item 12, other business. The relevant document is Conference Room Document 3. It is about the provisional agenda for the 30th session of the Commission. In accordance with the established practice, the draft provisional agenda for a commission session usually presented to the executive committee and for its comments. Mr. Chairman, as the committee will discuss later today or tomorrow, a discussion about financial and budgetary matters of the commission, and in this context, different options will be considered, among which to eliminate one session of the executive committee. In the event the executive committee agrees to postpone the 59th session of this committee from December 2006 to June 2007, there will be no intervening executive committee session between the present session and the next session of the commission. So this is a reason why the Secretariat seeks to seize this opportunity to request the views of the Executive Committee on the draft provisional agenda for the 30th session of the Commission. If the Commission decides to maintain the December 2006 session of the Executive Committee, then the same document will be presented for the Executive Committee for its advice. So this is one item the Secretariat wishes to raise under other business. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I turn switch on microphone, I'd like to inform the Executive Committee that the current proceeding is being audio recorded on an experimental basis upon the request of the Commission and upon the recommendations of Committee on General Principles and endorsement of the Commission and the Executive Committee. When we come to item 9, there may be some sub-items for which the audio recording may not be appropriate, but the committee could come back to decide whether the audio recording should be made for that particular sub-item. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Secretary and ladies and gentlemen, the agenda, provisional agenda, is now open for adoption. And I wish to ask if there is any member with an agenda that can be discussed under any other business. Argentina?
Sí, gracias, señor presidente. Argentina, quisiera solicitar que bajo el tema 12 de otros asuntos se traten dos cuestiones relacionadas con los grupos de trabajo de los comités del Códex. Una con respecto a la participación del secretariado del Códex en los grupos de trabajo de presencia física y la otra relativa al envío de información en los grupos de trabajo electrónico a los puntos focales del Códex de cada uno de los miembros del grupo. Argentina envió dos documentos por email que no tuve la oportunidad de chequear si han sido como CRDs, pero si no lo han sido, yo podría presentarlos en el transcurso del día. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. I understand Argentina, they have prepared CRD 4, and I hope every member has had a copy. Any other item to be discussed under any other business? Seeing none, then the committee adopts the agenda with the arrangement between 8 and 9, depending on the availability of the legal counsel from WHO, and also with the inclusion under any other business, the item requested by the Secretariat and the two items requested by Argentina. Thank you very much. Agenda is adopted.
No, item two.
Yeah. I now invite the committee to start looking at agenda item 2. That is critical review of the draft standards and related texts submitted to the commission for adoption. And I wish to invite Salma to introduce the agenda item. Salma, please.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon to everybody. So we have the document 06582. At the present session, we're going to look at the codex standards and related texts submitted for adoption, because this is the session immediately prior to as following previous agreement. So as you can see, it's committee by committee, and perhaps we can, Mr. Chairman, do it following the order of the list and pause after each committee. So the first draft standard for adoption is a standard developed by correspondence for the Codex Committee on Cereals, Pulses and Legumes hosted by the United States. There were several rounds of comments. It went through several sealed and process of endorsement. As you can see in the last column, there are notes on specific aspects of various texts and the status of endorsement. So in that case, it has been endorsed by all the relevant committees with some amendments. So we can stop at this stage and see if there are any comments on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's now open to the floor. Are there any comments to regarding the adoption of this standard? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to adopt the standard. Next, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second part is the most substantial part of the in number of standards, and also in relation to various comments we have to make. It's on the Committee on Food Additives and Contaminants. As you see, there are a number of submitted at step 8 or step 5 and 8. So on the second entry on the column, on the additives indicated in Appendix 7 of the report of CCFAC, it refers to the additive provisions in Codex standards with one-to-one relationship with the GSFA food category, which means that the GSFA food category normally corresponds to the Codex standard under consideration. This is part of the process to incorporate the additives provisions which are currently in Codex standards into the GSFA, and this is ongoing work which has been going on for some time. So we have a number of comments which are in Annex 1, Part 1. Part one in all in additives. So you can see there are some general issues relating to the fact that some of these additives, in view of the presentation from CCFAC, it is not always very clear at what step they are. There are a number of them mentioned at step 8. In fact, in some cases, there are additives provisions already included in adopted standards and proposed for incorporation into the general standard. However, in that process, when we compared with the current provisions in the adopted standards, we noted that there were a number of differences, which mean that CCFAC, in fact, made some amendments, and sometimes there are significant amendments even in the level of additives, the level of use of additives, and they were proposed to be transferred to the GSFA, but at the same time there was also a substantial amendment. So the recommendation we would propose for clarification purposes to the for future process of incorporating additives in the general standards would be to clearly separate or clearly the additives provisions which are already adopted, proposed for incorporation into the GSFA. In this case, they would not require further discussion. Then when there are revocation of existing provisions in the GSFA in order to ensure consistency, because there are also some of them. However, point C, when there are amendment additives provisions in Codex standards for inclusion in the GSFA, these amendments could be referred to the relevant committee when active committees exist, or especially if they are considering the standards under consideration. Otherwise, of course, the Committee on Additives and Contaminants can develop them as new provision or as amendments to the general standard. And in that case, it's very important that they should follow the step procedure and that it should be identified in at which step they are in the process, also to allow comment and discussion in the committee according to the comments. Also to facilitate this process, the report could include the table providing the list of existing additive provisions and identifying what is amended. So I will not detail on the specific issues, but there are a number of differences in the additives provisions existing in the standard and what is proposed by the Committee on Additives and Contaminants. And especially there are provisions currently under consideration by active committees. The first one is on margarine and similar products. The current standard is only on margarine. The Committee on Fats and Oils is now not only revising the standard, but developing draft standard for fat spreads and blended spreads, which will incorporate margarine. And one of the substantial issues, well, the main substantial issue remaining for that committee to finalize the standard is additives section. But this is still under consideration. So in view of that, we would propose that CCFAC should not, that the Commission should not adopt the amendments to these additives at this stage because they are under discussion in the Committee on Fats and Oils, and it is expected that Committee on Fats and Oils would finalize the standard at its next session in February 2007. There are two other standards which are adopted standards and which are not currently under discussion. There are also some definitions, so that would relate to the general consideration made at the beginning for sugar, dextrose, and then for salt, that there are significant changes in the additives list. And in that case, that should go through the step procedure. Now, the two last entries relate to infant formula and follow-up formula. Infant formula is now under revision. It's under discussion in the Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses, and especially the section on additives is still under consideration. So in similar way, we would propose that it should be deferred, that any adoption of a new on additives in infant formula should be deferred until the CCNFSDU has completed the revision of the standard. And for follow-up formula, in view of the close relationship with the standard for infant formula, since the list of additives is very similar, except one or two additives, which are different, we would also propose that it would be deferred because until the Committee on Nutrition has completed the revision of the standard for infant formula. These were for Appendix 7 of the report of CCFAC. Now going to still on page 10, it's related issue concerning Appendix 9, which is proposal to revise commodity standards, also with a relationship to the GSFA food category. It's a proposal to replace the current section additives in several individual standards with a text referring to the GSFA. The additives listed should be listed in tables 1 and 2 of the general standard, may be used in foods subject to this standard. And that would replace the current list of additives. However, in addition to the specific cases we mentioned above, this is a general issue related to procedure because according to the provisions in the procedural manual, the list of additives, and it's very clearly specified in the procedural manual, there are a number of details which explain how it should be presented, and the list should be presented in the standard, then it should be submitted to the Committee on Additives and Contaminants for endorsement, but it cannot be replaced at the moment by a simple statement because only it's not specified in the procedural manual. That could be, of course, done in the future, but first the provisions in the procedural manual should be rediscussed or reviewed or changed accordingly. We note that this was done in the case of the standard for fruit juices, but in that case it was perhaps an exception, or in any case it really the additive provisions corresponded. which is not the case in all the various standards which we have mentioned. So also for last piece of information in this respect, to indicate that the Committee on Adhesives and Contaminants, as mentioned on page 12, has initiated the revision of the relevant sections of the procedural manual. And that will, after some time, we don't know in near future or not so near future, it may result in several amendments. This is mentioned, I think, in the document on matters referred to the Commission from the CCFAC, because it's not listed either in the proposals for new work, but it's listed in the matters referred. So that was all the background relating to the additives part, and perhaps there is nothing else on additives, so we could stop at this stage and then we'll go back to the contaminants part. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and now I wish to invite the committee to first start looking at the general issues on page 8, and there are quite a number of recommendations, and I wish to seek your views as to whether we should recommend to the executive, to the commission, to endorse these recommendations. Seeing no hand, then or no flag, we take it that we recommend to the Commission to adopt, endorse the recommendations as under general issues, that additives provisions included in the adopted standards proposed for incorporation into the GSFA, their transfer to GSFA do not require consideration of substantial matters, revocation of existing provisions in the GSFA in order to ensure consistency with existing standards, and proposed amendments to current additives provisions in correct standard for inclusion in the GSFA. These amendments may be referred to the relevant committee when active committees exist and relevant standards are under consideration. The committee may also develop them as new provisions or amendments to the GSFA, in which case they should follow the step procedure in order to allow for comments. So these are the proposed clarifications that we are seeking from CCFAC. Thank you very much. Then we go to the specific issues. Yeah, sorry. Also, still under general issues, we are asking the CCFAC to clarify when provisions of food for additives for inclusion in the GSFA result in amendments to additive provisions in the correct standards, consequential amendments should be made to the relevant standards. And also, the reports of CFAC should include a table showing the existing additive provisions in the correct standards in order to facilitate their consideration. So I think we recommend to the Commission to endorse this recommend as presented on general issues. Thank you very much. Then let's start looking at the specific issues again on page 9. And that is on food category number 02.2.1.2, margarine and similar products. And there is a proposal at the end of the page. It is proposed that consideration for all additives provisions for margarine and similar products be deferred until the draft standard for fat spreads and blade spreads has been finalized by CCFO in 2007. And a list of food additives submitted for endorsement to CFAC. At the same time, CC is invited to review section of the food category system in such a way to achieve complete one-to-one correspondence with the provisions in the two standards mentioned above. I wish to invite any comments on this. Seeing no flag, then we to the Commission to endorse this proposal. On page 10, we have food category number 11.1.2, powdered sugar and powdered dextrose, and food category number 12.1.1, salt, and we could consider those. In the first category, 11.1.2, there is a proposal in Appendix 7 which refers to phosphates at a level of 6,600 milligrams per kg, and we should ask CIS-FAC to clarify whether this provision is at step 8 as part of the GSFA. Any objection to that? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to endorse this recommendation. Again, for food category 0.1.1.1, salt. The last paragraph under that, which says, as regards polysorbates in salt, this is a new level for inclusion in GSFA, and it may be clarified whether it went through the step procedure as part of the GSFA. This will also require a consequential amendment to the standard for food-grade salt that currently lists only polyhexethylene, that's 20 sorbitan mono. Olate as 433. So we also want to ask CCFAC to clarify that. Any objection to that? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to endorse that clarification. For food category 13.1.21, infant formula, it is proposed that the adoption of new levels of additives in infant formula be deferred until CIS-NFSDU has completed the revision of the standard. Any objection to that proposal? So we recommend the same to the Commission. Food category 13.1.2, follow-up formula. It is proposed that the adoption of new levels of food additives in follow-up formula be deferred until the CIS-NFS has completed the revision of the standard formula. The matter be referred for consideration by CIS-NFSDU. Any objection to that? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to endorse the proposal. And then there's Salmo, could you come again? Last two paragraphs? Oh. Secretary, you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we are asking clarification on those points to CCFAC, the most appropriate course of action is not to recommend the Commission to adopt Appendix 7 to the CCFAC report, but defer its adoption until the next session, by which time the CCFAC will provide clarification on those points. And Appendix 9 of the same committee report should go in tandem with the adoption of Appendix 7. Therefore, by taking the decision by recommending the Commission to defer the adoption of Appendix 7 to the 30th session, probably we should be consistent and also recommend to defer the adoption of Appendix 10 to the 30th session. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any objection to recommending to the Commission to defer adoption of Appendix 9 until to the 30th Commission meeting? None, then we request that Appendix 9 be deferred.
Start contaminants from here. Yes. We finish this until the middle of phase 3. We finish until the middle of phase 3.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have to, if you invite Selma.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are finished with the food additives, and I wish to again invite Salma to introduce the section. Salma, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as you can know, there are some very important maximum level lead in fish and cadmium which have been finalized, so that's a very important achievement. And then several codes of practice are going to step 5 and 8, which are also very important for health protection. We have some comments concerning the last stage 3, which is a code of practice for reduction dioxin and dioxin-like PCB contamination. And this code has been sent to step 5 and 8. But after the CCFAC, the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, which is also discussing the issue of methods for the determination of dioxins in foods, as a separate issue and also as a request of CCFAC, took note of the fact that the code of practice, a proposed draft, code of practice now under consideration includes a very substantial section on methods of analysis and sampling. It does not propose, of course, methods because this is a code of practice. It provides some recommendations which are intended for governments when they want to carry out monitoring, or any issues of sampling and methodology is also addressed there. And there were some comments from some delegation which wanted to make comments on the level, on the performance or good laboratory practice, especially on matters related to limit of determination in relation to the maximum levels which may be established at national level. However, it was noted that it was not possible to comment because the code had been sent directly to the Commission at step 5 and 8 by the Committee on Additives and Contaminants, which in fact had not referred it to CCMAS, but CCMAS took note of it in view of its related work. So we wanted to raise is whether the section on methods of analysis and sampling could be referred to the CCMAS because it's competence in the area of methods. Of course, it's not endorsement because it's not specific method of analysis, but it's methodology issue, and also because the CCMAS is already working on the methods for determination of dioxins and dioxin-like PCBs. So that was the proposal, whether how to proceed in this area, and whether it could be the adoption of the section on method could be deferred or could be adopted and perhaps referred for revision or for consideration in any case to the Committee on Method of Analysis and Sampling. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And also, I wanted to note that we have some comments from member countries in this area on the code and in relation to metals. So I wanted to raise possible concerns in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a situation where CCFAC has recommended for adoption at step 5.8, methods for determination of dioxins, while at the same time the same is under discussion in CCMAS. And as the executive committee, we would wish to recommend as to whether the adoption at step 5.8 of the methods of analysis as recommended by CCFAC should be deferred until its discussion in CCMAS has been concluded, or we recommend the adoption of the methods and also ask CCFAC to start a new work on review of the methods. So the floor is open.
Thank you, sir. We, in fact, agree with the recommendation made that CCMAS would be the appropriate place for this matter to be considered before we proceed further.
Any other comment? Vice Chair Wim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this is pretty complicated discussion, and to keep track of all these standards at step 5.8 and their comments. My reading is of this particular issue that what has been proposed by the Food Additives and Contaminants Committee is a proposed draft code of practice for the prevention and reduction of dioxin and dioxin-like PCB contamination in food and feed. And so my understanding is that such a code of practice comprises of basically two sets of recommendations. First is indeed what measures can be put in place to prevent or to have reduced levels of dioxin and the like contaminations. And I guess that is important. So the first part is a message, a guidance to countries, what measures can be put in place to prevent contamination, or at least to have reduced levels of contamination by dioxins and PCBs. The second one is a section on sampling and methods of analysis for monitoring purposes, whether indeed to see the measures you have put in place, whether that works or not. And in that regard, Mr. Chairman, as an executive committee, think about a way forward that we adopt the code of practice, including the current section on sampling analytical methods, data reporting, and laboratories. So I ask to give reasonable advice to countries, but at the same time to refer this matter further to the CCMAS to take on board the revision of these paragraphs on sampling, analytical methods, data reporting, and laboratories. So then you adopt the guide, the code of practice, as it currently reads, as proposed by the Food Additives Committee, maybe with a slightly less sophisticated section on methods of analysis and sampling. So adopt the code of practice, but at the same time refer the matters on methods of analysis and sampling to the CCMAS for further review and advice to the Commission at the earliest opportunity. My understanding is that that might be the best way to give guidance to countries on an issue as how to read to prevent emission of food and feed by dioxins and similar contaminants. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chairperson. And he has brought in points first. Reduce the levels of dioxins and PCBs. And the second part of the code is that of methods of analysis and sampling, and he would wish to see at least the first part adopted, and the second part adopted, but with referral to CCMAS to start looking at the adopted methods and of samples.